Afternoon. Our guest right now, Bernie Tahalty from Minnesota, actually originally from Wisconsin, I'm assuming, since he's got a website called ScrewedKenoshaStyle.com and now living in Minnesota. But wanted to talk a little bit about the cult life because, Bernie, you're the only person that I think that I know or have talked to that has been in a cult.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on here. Yes, I got wrapped up in a religious cult. It was just conservative. I would have not called it a cult when I first met them. They were just ordinary people, but very strict, very serious. But then as the years went by, I was with them about 8 years, it got transmuted more and more and more in demands and stuff like that. No medicine, no doctors. I started seeing people die in the place. I saw, I know the whole situation. I was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and this happened in California, but the same congregation. I know how it was with the 11-month-old baby that died. I was right there when the older man died and actually had a stroke. No medicine, no doctors. He was bedridden. He was crying out for water. Well, he was being dehydrated. He couldn't get the water. He couldn't keep the water in his mouth. And I watched the whole episode, and one night we got a knock on the door, and the brother's health just died, you know. And so I went downstairs. He lived downstairs from me, and everybody was gathered around. Well, what do? We called the main head honcho out in California, and he said, don't call the ambulance now, because if you call the ambulance now, they're going to be doing CPR. We don't want that. So we literally waited an hour before he called 911. Had the body cooled down. I still remember it's lodged in my head and watching the pastor put his hand on the dead man's forehead and the other hand on the phone. And, okay, Brother Danny, praise the Lord. Yes, amen. And, yes, Ralph Sells is cool to the touch now. Okay, now he can call 911. Okay, oh, by the way, is Bernie's house and children in the house yet? Yes. They are. Okay, move them out. Move them over to your place next door. So we moved our children over, our sleeping children over next door, then called the ambulance. And I still remember the sheriff saying, or the main head honcho police or whatever. He said, why? It appears that the body has been dead for a little while. Why didn't you call 911 any sooner? And I wrote that in my first book. My first book is Torn Asunder in the Jaws of the Cult. And I just watched the pastor just squirm. Well, the person took a deep breath. He never answered the question.
Bernie, how did you get involved in a cult? Did it start off as a Christian religion?
Yes, it was at first a Christian religion that was willing, that was helpful. You need your lawnmower? Hey, all the saints come over and we mow your lawn and paint your house and this and that. Very helpful, very attractive. And when they came over and did stuff for me, I felt obligated to go to the church. Besides, they were just decent, ordinary folks just trying to be nice. And as it transmuted, it turned into a cult where it was demanding. And they are the nicest people I ever met when you're heading that direction, but then the most cruel people when you decide to leave, that this is not right anymore. No medicine, no doctors, beating the children, black and blue, literally 300-400 swats. I had to give a shower to one of my children after they got a swat the next day. He was literally black and blue from his waist down to his ankle.
So, Bernie, who did that? I mean, if it wasn't you that was, you know, punishing your child, who did the punishment?
The punishment was done by the pastor, by the wife. At that particular time, it was by my wife. The pastor's wife has beaten my children. The two boys that came out of it. I had seven children. Two of them came with me. They didn't want anything to do with it. Later on, they confessed to me and says they were looking away to run away from home. They were sick of it long before I was kind of restless in it. I didn't care for what I was seeing, that it was getting worse and worse. But I wasn't ready to leave yet where my boys were. And when I was excommunicated, that was their ticket out.
Bernie Tahalty is our guest this morning. We're talking about his life as a cult member. How long ago did you get out of the cult?
10 years, 2002. The pastor told my wife that she needed to leave me because I was not abiding by the rules. I wasn't beating my children according to the way they taught that I was supposed to do. I was giving my oldest son an inhaler, which was a violation. I was tired of watching him suffer asthma. And so the pastor told my wife, he needs to leave. You need to leave him. And sure enough, she left me January of 2002. My wife died in March of 2002. And that was kind of the tipping point.
What died in March of 2002?
My mother.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say that. So you spent this time, 10 years, 8 years in the cult?
Yes, 8 years. Oh, excuse me, I'm getting a little fussy. No, January she died. She got buried. March, my wife left me right after that, 2 months later. I got that backwards there.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was a tough year that year.
Why did you stay in the cult for so long?
Because I wanted to get out of this. And I want to move back home. I grew up in Hinckley, Minnesota. I moved eventually down to the cities and then back up to Spooner, Wisconsin. That's where I spent quite a bit of time. And then the cult came around, and we have to move. And so we moved down to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
So did you guys all live together in, like, the compound that you know, like the...
Well, not really a compound, but houses real next to each other. They have to be within, you know, 10, 15 minutes of each other. That's the way it is all over, you know, the United States where they have their little organizations. And, yeah, we lived in the same house with the assistant pastor, his son, and this older man that was, like, 80 years old.
So how can you go ahead and beat your children? I mean, if you're in a cult, how can you know you beat the children? As a father of four, that's what I want. How can that happen?
Okay, how that happens is that if you're in the system, they teach it that the child has to willfully, if they disobeyed, they did something, you know, something defiant, anything like that, they have to take their punishment. They're maybe 5 years old, you know, like Stevie in this situation was my son. Stevie, he was supposed to sit still in the church. We were having a camp meeting down in Ohio. It's open pole barn style type of thing. And we just started singing. The church services lasted for about 2 years. And we had all seven children right between us. She's sitting on one end of the bench. I'm sitting on the other end of the bench. And Stevie is not sitting still. Mother tells him, go ahead, sit still. Boom. He kind of sticks his tongue out, not at her, but kind of like a defiant motion. She grabs him. She runs him to the cabin. She starts beating him a little bit. Okay? Now, about 5-10 minutes later, he's not laying over the bed. Any kind of beating that you give him before, he lays willfully across the bed, is extra. And so she comes and gets me. You got to help me. And I was already in trouble with the church. The church was ready to split up our marriage. They split up hundreds of them. And, 50 of them, at least, that I know of. And so, anyway, I went to the cabin. And there's this little sobbing boy. What do I do? Call the authorities? There's no proof. Call them afterwards? Well, I'm an accomplice to it.
Well then, how can there not be any proof? If you said that you bathed when you were kids and they had, you know, bruise marks,
black
and blue, how is that not proof that somebody got beaten?
Okay, black and blue marks heal up after 2-4 days. Okay, in the city of Kenosha, when the child services comes out, you can call the child services on it. If the family is living away from me, I don't know exactly which days they get beat, and the pastor's wife used to be a nurse, but that's medically now, so she can't be a nurse anymore. But she has said that if a child told the parents that if the child has black and blue marks, soak them in Epsom salt. That removes the black and blue spots very quickly. And so black and blue marks will disappear in 2 or 3 days. Now, when the child services come, they investigate. You got strike one. Okay? They came out once. You made a complaint. They went out. Search it. Now the family knows that they're under the microscope, and so they just remain clean. I said, no, they did beat the children. So they come out the second time. If they do not see any black and blue marks, that is it. That strike.
But can't they ask? Can't they ask the kid? Because I've heard people say that, you know what, through school somebody saw a bruise on somebody's arm. They ended up telling somebody, and then the parents ended up getting in trouble. Why is it that, you know, with this quote-unquote religious group, that they can get away with it?
Because they illegally private school themselves. They can homeschool. They call it a homeschool. They sign a paper with the state that they're going to homeschool. However, they are not homeschooling. They are private schooling. Send them to their little church there, and all the church member families, whatever, bring their children, and certain people, like my daughter, my second daughter now, who is only like 20 years old right now, she is teaching the younger children. She never went anything outside of their little homeschool program. She never has any college education, but she's teaching the younger children with a curriculum. Sure, there's a format, and she's correcting test scores, and she's doing the teaching, actually, but yet it's through a curriculum. And so it is all illegal. But in Ohio, they moved on to Ohio, so I have 800 miles to go see them, the two youngest that are still underage. But no, it is okay. So if it's private school, nobody sees them. They don't have a public teacher. They don't have a public, you know, anything. So it gets away with. Right now, there is a real storm. You know, that's going on in Ohio. It's Greenville, Ohio, is where my children are at. I was on the front page of the newspaper about a month or two ago, and they had a little light exposure. The reporter interviewed me, interviewed my son, wrote up a big article, and people are starting to come out of the woodwork now and says, yes, I lived to this family, right next door to this family, and we heard a scream and then this and that. And we just had no idea what to do. Do we call the police, or what do we do?
I would think that people would call the cops. If I heard some kid screaming, I'd call the police. I don't care if it came from wherever. I'd be on the phone, call 911 to make sure that kid was safe.
Yeah, they never did until just recently now. It's because of the newspaper article. It's because of this publicity. If things have changed, is like what you have. I mean, I'm giving all the honor and praise to you because you're putting it out on the air for everybody to hear. Exposure is the best way to squelch this injustice.
Bernie Tuhalty is our guest this morning. He's got a website called Screwed Kenosha Style. Why that as a website?
Okay. When just before I went to jail, it was being threatened.
No, wait. What'd you go to jail for?
Okay. I was. They fabricated an income. They took my IRS forms.
No, who did this? The church did this?
The courts. Okay, the church pushed me into the court system to be able to see my children. I wouldn't be able to see my children. They would hide them out. They'd send them out to California. I'd never see them again unless I put some court pressure on them. So I brought them into the court. Well, then I had an attorney that sold me out. Says, you have to have a divorce. I didn't want a divorce. Later on, I found out he lied to me. So I wrote my second book, The Black Robe Conspiracy, exactly what took place. They took my income and took my gross receipts. When you work privately, you know, for a business type of thing, I come over, I'm a tree cutter, I come over to your house and you got several trees and you need this down and that down and I'm going to need a lift trailer, that type of thing. And so I quote you $1,000 to take the trees down, hypothetical. Okay, but it cost me $500 just equipment, rent those receipts. How much did I make? $500. Nope, he made $1,000. And so they basically framed me with $1,000. And after that point, after I was framed, I tried changing it. I went to the judicial commission. I went to the Office of Lawyer Regulation. I contacted politicians. Governor Doyle was Jim Doyle was the governor at that time, and he sent me a big letter. That's where he introduced me to the judicial commission. He introduced me to all those different things. Every place I went, I knocked my head against the wall. Every single politician in Wisconsin knows about me, knows about my website. I have contacted them. I've sent letters. I've emailed them. I've texted them. Stuff like that. But nothing seems to happen. The court system will cover their own system up. I'd like to make a statement. America has the best justice system that money can buy. Unfortunately, if you don't have the money, you can't buy it. Because my case, if I was a criminal, if I broke into some place or murdered somebody, I would get a public defender. However, a family court does not provide a public defender. So you have to buy one. If you're totally broke, if you got put out of the picture, totally broke, you can't borrow the money. You can't get an attorney. Therefore, I'm winning this whole thing by myself. I've learned a lot through it, but it seems like you always learn too late. When to appeal, how to appeal.
Bernie, you wrote three books?
Three books. And a third one is on the confinement, the wrongfully shackled. I have my Facebook page also called Wrongfully Shackled. You can find me by there. That's where I can put the newest things on. I don't need a webmaster to put things on there. And so the webmaster basically built it for me. Yes, there's mistakes and this and that, but webmaster is a friend of mine, and he's trying to help me out. And so it is a cheap way to get to the public and so forth. So
if you want more information, want to find out more about Bernie's story, go to the website. It's called Screwed Kenosha Style. It'll walk you through the cult life, the lawsuits, and being thrown in jail wrongfully. You want to help, want to find out more, it's screwedkenoshastyle.com.